Good morning again, and just a reminder, if folks didn't know, I know somebody asked me, Greg is out of town this weekend, or was out of town this weekend, they'll be coming back right away for a wedding. Ryan's brother, Seth, married, and I can't remember her name. She's a sweet little girl that sat here for about a year working for Disney, and the good news is that they're moving down here, so we'll have another couple joining our fellowship soon. And so anyway, all right, let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 32 in our spiral hymn book, number 32, In Christ We Are Free.
All children of wrath in bondage and sin, we helplessly lay condemned and unclean. God's law in its infinite justice and wrath demanded we suffer an eternal death. But long before time had ever begun, one stood in our place, God's glorious Son. He offered himself to go live among men and give his own life to atone for our sin. The great substitute, behold, he has come. Christ has been paid. The work is all done. Christ took on himself the great load of our sin. He poured out his blood and he put away sin. God's justice and law are now satisfied, and all who believe have been justified through faith in the blood of the Lamb. We are free from sin's condemnation, eternally free.
Please be seated.
Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray God give me the grace to speak clearly and concisely to you this morning. Paul writes, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I can assure you the world, they have no concept of what that means. But as Robert said, if God has called you, has saved you and called you, you know what that is. We are not citizens of this world. We're just pilgrims going through. And it is the desire of every believer to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to put aside that old man, the death of this body where sin no longer dwells, and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've ever experienced that, some of us have, haven't we? We've been close to death's door. That is a peace that only the believer has. I speak monk. I was disappointed when I was brought back to life. But we desire to be with our Savior. I've said those things. I want to let you know I received a call last night, and our sister Digna is in the hospital, in Florida Hospital in Princeton, and her condition is a serious one, but it is great comfort. I know we've had the great pleasure of being with the great comfort that she understands what it means to say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And has said openly to Diana, you know, if I get sick, I don't want no operations. I don't want just let me die. Because she's ready to die. And I don't know when that'll be. Only God knows. But I want us, we should pray for our sister. And we will. And a great blessing. Great blessing to me. I want to leave with one thing. I've said it before. Forgive me if I repeat it. But as I was walking this morning, it came to mind. The words of John Newton. And John Newton said, in this world, there are three blessings that God gives His people. And they are faith, hope, and love. Sorry. God gives us the faith to look to Christ and to believe on Him. He gives us a hope that all my salvation is in the hands of Christ and not dependent on anything I do or I have ever done. And love. He gives us a love for Christ, a love for the gospel, and a love for His people, no matter where they come from. That's what He gives us to get us through this world. But He said, one day, we will stand at the door of glory. And when we do, faith will tell us, I stop right in here. I don't go in with you. Said, you no longer live by faith. You will now live by sight. You'll be in the presence of God Almighty for eternity. And hope says, I also must stop right here. For your hope is now become reality. And love, love says, I go in with you. Because I now know, you will see, that God has loved us, Robert, you said, before the foundations of the world. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He has loved us with a suffering love. And thank God His love for us doesn't depend on me. And as we enter into glory, and one day our sister will do that. And we ask God to be merciful to her and to us as we await that day. We await that day, anxiously. Anxiously. I will say to you, if they said, and we don't know because it's in God's hand, but if someone would say, today's your last day, we would just live it as normal and be thankful that, Lord, I can't wait till tomorrow to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day that'll be. I want to try to pray for our sister and for the messages this morning. Lord, we confess to you, we have no power. We are frail, sinful people. And if not for the Lord Jesus Christ, we couldn't even come into your presence with a prayer. We ask you, Lord, this morning that you enable us to pray for your will to be done. And that you will be with our brothers as they reveal you to us this morning. That you would speak through them. And Lord, that you would give us the faith to believe what is said, to worship you, to love you. We thank you for our sister, and we pray that you would be merciful through these last days. Lord, that you would speak peace to her heart, and that you would comfort her, that her salvation is all in you, and that we can trust that and believe that and know it's true, and that we can find our peace in Christ. We pray for Stefan that this is a difficult time for him, and that, Lord, that you would put it in the hearts of his family and us to provide for him and to care for him. Lord, we pray that Digna's testimony might be one to her family of the goodness and mercy of God, and that, Lord, you might use it to bring home some of her people and save them, Lord, if you be willing. We ask the same for ourselves, Lord, that you would save us and that you would enable us to worship and to glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
One more congregational hymn, and then we'll have special music by Adam. So let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 17 from your hardback hymnal. Number 17, Come Thou Fount.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. If the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Please be seated, Adam.
Died alone.
Yet the nails were long and rough as they pierced God in the flesh. And the blood of Christ was shed. Sovereign love, amazing grace, the rock of ages hanging in my place. Alone, alone, alone.
Thank you, Adam. Our purpose in being here this morning is to see the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To see His face is salvation, for He does not reveal Himself to those that are not His own children. May He be seen this morning, and may He send His Spirit to open our blind eyes, our deaf ears, and clear our minds. Lord, tune our hearts to sing Thy praise right now. If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. I've titled this message, Tell Me More About Him. Tell Me More About Him. As I was reading a commentator, they asked the question, why would a 67-verse chapter be devoted to finding a bride for one man? He did that. The commentator did this in, foolishly. He wasn't asking a question in sincerity, but it was almost making fun. And I thought, well, the reason there's a 67-verse chapter is because the entire Bible is devoted to one man finding his bride. God had to become a man to save His people and to purchase a bride. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God became a man. To purchase a bride, He had to become what I was, so that I could become perfectly righteous through His obedience to the Father, by His death, by His burial, and by His resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to begin at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now we find in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2 that this servant's name is Eleazar. The servant's name means God is help. Now this is a picture of the Holy Spirit and the gospel preacher being sent to preach the gospel and to bring the Lord's people. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." This is the means by which the Lord saves his people by his Spirit through the preaching of his gospel. Now, skip down with me. This is a 67 verse chapter, as we mentioned. So we're going to skip down to verse 33. And we'll have to read the remainder of the chapter, so bear with me. In verse 33, it says, "And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And it came to pass this day, and I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I shall say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she saying to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave to her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days. And that is to say a full year. And he says here, or at least 10, and that means 10 months. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were riding. The camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered her face, covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We see the picture of the successful salvation in bringing of the Lord's elect. Now, let's go right back to verse 34. It was necessary to read the whole story so we could understand several things, and there's a lot in this that I'm not going to be able to bring out for the sake of time. But if you'll look with me here in verse 34, he said, and this is Eleazar speaking, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. He says, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And it says here that the Lord hath given his son. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In verse 37, he said, and my master made me swear. So as he's speaking, this is his task that he is speaking unto Laban and Rebekah's father. He's saying, this is my task. My master sent me to bring a bride back to him. This is my purpose. This is my goal. And as you've already heard the entire story, we see something interesting in verse 43. He says, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water. I want us to notice here that it says the virgin. It doesn't say a virgin. It's not plural, but it's a particular virgin, this particular virgin. There was no difference between the Samaritan woman at the well and this woman at this well. They both needed a righteousness before God that they could not produce themselves. Christ had to be revealed to both of them. He had to reveal his face to both of these women. She was not looking for anything that day. She was going about her daily activities, and the Lord came to where she was and revealed himself. That's how he does the salvation, as Robert has already mentioned. In Jeremiah 33, verse 16, it says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What qualified Rebekah, and what qualifies you and I to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white? The Father's demands had to be satisfied. Abraham had specific demands that had to be met before Rebekah was ever able to qualify. He told the servant exactly what he wanted, what was required in the bride. And the only thing that qualifies you and I is that Christ satisfied the demands of God's justice. Therefore, we have a righteousness before the Father. In Zechariah chapter 13, he says, "And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd." Because of this, we are presented as perfectly righteous before the Father. Notice that none of the Father's demands were a choice of her doing, nor could she do anything to change or to meet these demands. But it was an election of grace before time began. Everything the Father demanded, Christ satisfied when he said, "It is finished." It was completely finished. He knew exactly where to go to find us. He knew what words to say to draw us when the Spirit came to us. He robed us in his righteousness before time ever was. And just like us, she was at the appointed place at the ordained time. Look with me, if you would, in verse 54. "And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel, inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Sometimes, as you all know, we have to depart those we love in this life to follow after him. Whether they leave us or we have to leave them, our steps are ordered and sure. We have one thing needful, and that is to see his face. We must leave those that will not follow him to the mercy of him. Knowing we can't take anything into our own hands to accomplish anything. As Robert said, we're nothing but sin. We can't fix anything. We must hear more about Christ. And if they have no interest, those that we love, if they have no interest, they have no need. We look to Christ to keep them and to keep us. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Rebekah had to go to Isaac. Lord, give us the need to get to you, to see your face. Tell me more about thee, O Lord. In verse 61, and they rode upon camels. And Rebekah arose, her damsels, and her damsels, and they rode upon camels. Camels can travel up to 40 miles under a load. It was roughly a 500-mile journey. So at best, they was probably 12 to 13 days one way. In my mind, I thought, what would be her questions every day? She's never met Isaac before. She's never seen him. But she's with the chief of the servants, Abraham's most trusted servant. Her question every day was, tell me more about Isaac. What is he like? Here is the description that the servant of God gives to the son. If you look in verse 62, it says, "And Isaac came from the way of the well Leheroi, for he dwelt in the south country." The well Leheroi means well of the living God. Christ had to leave his throne in glory, the well of the living God, to come to the well that I was at in the middle of the desert, to reveal his face and give me himself as living water. Verse 63 says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field." And that word meditate means to pray. Well, what did he pray? Now, understand, this is the servant. This is what the servant does, the preacher. He describes the son. We're looking through a glass darkly, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. But that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to see the Lord's face. What did Isaac pray? Turn with me to John chapter 17. What did our substitute pray? What did our Isaac pray in the garden by himself? John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Now skip down to verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." In verse 22, he says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest them, lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Who maketh us to differ? The only difference between Peter and Judas was that Christ prayed for Peter. That he revealed his face unto Peter. He only prayed for his chosen bride, Rebecca. That's what the son did. As they traveled through the desert, "Tell me more about him," was her often request and plea to the servant. The more she learned, the more she wanted to know. Turn with me, if you would, to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. She said, "Tell me more about him." Verse 2, and this is the bride speaking, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." Who made us undefiled? It was Christ. "For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with drops of the night. I have put off my coat, and how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer." Now look at the very last verse in this chapter, number 16. It says, "His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." He left his smell of myrrh on the doorknob. And you'll notice it says her bowels, which is the depth of her heart, was moved for him just at his voice speaking to her, just by his smell. And I begin to wonder in my mind of the qualities that this servant would describe unto Rebekah. And I would sight, smell, and all of the attributes that he had. And I came to this place where it talks about his smell. And I found this verse. It says Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." We now smell like him to the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." Job chapter 42, verse 5, Job said it best. He said, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes hath seen thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." That is why every day the bride of Christ wakes up and says, "Tell me more about him. Tell me more about him." And the servant of the Lord says, "You've never met a man like this man. He is Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the great I am, the lily of the valley, the bride and the morning star, the Lamb of God. Never a man spake like this man. He is faithful and true, full of truth and grace. He is long-suffering to usward, Emmanuel, God with us. The author and finisher of our faith, the bridegroom for his elect bride. He is the good shepherd. He is wonderful, counselor, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. He is all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, all redemption. He is able to save to the uttermost. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Christ is all in all." Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Somebody said, "Well, I don't know what he tastes like." You do now. That's exactly what he tastes like. Turn to Job chapter 37. We just heard in Song of Solomon 5 that his lips are sweet, and that in his palate, that means he whispers sweet peace to us. Job 37. Verse 1. "At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and he is lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened." Lord, breathe upon us your spirit. Lord, cause us to hear your voice. Speak fear not unto my soul. There is no storm unless it is purposed of him. The winds and the waves still know his voice. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." The Lord does not speak to everyone. The Lord only speaks to His elect, and the sheep know the Master's voice. In John 10, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Let's go back to the text in Genesis chapter 24. And look with me in verse number 64. It says, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And the servant had said, 'It is my master.' Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." 1 Kings chapter 10. "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard.'" Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' When she saw him, she took a veil and put it over her face. Even the angels in heaven cannot look upon him in his glory. This is the glory that he had to lay down so that we could be glorified in him," as he prayed in John 17. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name," as we read earlier. Christ is salvation. And we find in John 14, he is the I am. Christ said, "I am the way," not a way, but he is the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto him, no man cometh to the Father, but by him." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." This is the Lord's secret. And he says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant," in Psalm 25:14. His gospel is his secret. How he tastes, how he feels, how his voice sounds, what he smells like, what his face looks like. That's the Lord's secret he only reveals to his elect bride. In closing, our prayer is, Lord, tell us more about him. Show us his face. Cause us to look to Christ for the fullness of our salvation. May we be found in him. May he be all of our wisdom, all our righteousness, all our sanctification and redemption. Until the day we see him face to face, tell me more about him. Amen. Tom.
God chose to save me by His grace and blessed me in my covenant head with every blessing of His grace. In Christ my surety was found, a ransom for God's chosen one. Deliverance was then proclaimed, and God's great work of grace begun. In the due time, my Savior came to do His holy Father's will. A body was prepared for Him that He might righteousness fulfill. When Christ had righteousness brought in, He took my awful load of sin. Dying for me upon the tree, my Savior put away my sin. Though I was born a child of wrath, depraved and helpless, dead in sin, and though I chose the rebel's path, despising God and loving sin, my Savior's love could not be quenched. He sought and found me by His grace. Awakened by His Spirit's call, I'm saved by sovereign grace. Amazing, free, and sovereign grace, in love Christ Jesus took my place. Chosen, redeemed, and called by grace, to Christ alone I give all praise. My only hope, my only plea, is that Christ lived and died for me. In Him alone I am complete, to Christ alone my praise shall be.